Hi, this is Huggy Boy. This is going out to all the homies on a Sunday afternoon.
This is how we do it.
You wanted to never rush your money.
Good, everybody. Welcome back to Hops and Nodes.
Woo!
For episode 6. Joining me again is Ruben from Turning Tables Podcast.
I'm back. Again.
Again. Yeah,
again?
I think this is the third episode in a row you're on because Wu-Tang is 4, Prince was 5, and now this one.
The only one I haven't been on was,
this
Paramore.
Yeah.
Fucking love it. Keep me on.
Yeah, we're gonna keep using Ruben as long as he's willing to keep showing up. We're having a good time.
Woo!
Speaking of that sound, you guys know what it is. It's Crispy Boy time. We're gonna crack a beer open for the people.
For the people.
Today we are drinking Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing Company.
Yeah.
This is not a super micro craft beer. It's pretty widely available places, but we decided, fuck it. We're going to get a little big here. Ruben, cheers.
Cheers, sir.
Yeah. Tall cans.
Okay.
Yeah, not bad at all.
It's actually, it's fairly crispy, and it's like, actually the ale flavor isn't that hard.
We honestly should have had this first.
Before the last
before
one?
Before the brewery one, because you know, it's like 200 degrees here in Horrible People's Podcast Palace. It's hot as fuck in here, and we should have drank a Crispy Boy first. But
yeah, it's actually quite refreshing for right now. Actually, I'm really enjoying this. Like, how many bottle caps? Like, I'm giving this bitch a 5 right now.
I'll give it 3 bottle caps. It's something, it's a crushable boy. Drink it when you're grilling outside in the summer. Hell yeah.
It's a good summer beer if you don't want to be a basic Mexican and drink Modelo.
Right?
I said it.
You don't want to be that cousin.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be Hector.
Gustavo.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if your name's Hector Gustavo. We're not targeting you.
We're just throwing out our own people's names.
We're both brown men. Yeah. We know how it goes.
We know exactly.
We've
Hector
done it.
And Gustavo.
We have done it once or twice ourselves.
Right? But yeah, no, honestly, a Crispy Boy. It says Liquid Aloha. I don't know if it gives me island vibes, but it does give me summer drinking vibes.
Yeah, it does, yeah. That's all you ask for.
Available at your local 7-Eleven, because that's where we got this.
Indeed.
Tall 25-ounce can. So, there you go. We gave it a rating. It's not wild, but it's not boring.
Yeah.
Go grab one. It's crisp.
Solid beer you could get pretty much anywhere, I think.
We're gonna have a kind of loosey-goosey episode today. Because we're kind of doing it live.
Doing it live.
Ruben, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the album called Song Machine by the Gorillaz. A little background on this. So there's not a lot of publicity for this album. This album came out in started coming out in January of 2020 in the midst of COVID. And then went on to about December of 2020. And the way they basically did it was like every month or so they did installments called episodes where they came out with basically singles from different collaborators across the world, different genres, and they kind of smashed them all together and made an album out of it. I call it their COVID album because it wasn't like specifically for like touring or anything.
Man, what's wild is, so you said January 2020, right?
Yeah.
January 2020, it was like we were hearing about China having the problem, but we didn't have it until March. So that means they were at least 3 episodes deep into this project.
Yeah.
And COVID just fucked it up for everybody.
Yeah, I think it was, the premise was just like, because up until, those who know Gorillaz pretty well, after Demon Days going into, what is the album called? Plastic Island, they started getting real heavy into collaborating with people from different genres and just making a great amalgamation of music. And I think that was the intent here, because Humans did real well, Plastic Island did real well. The idea was to have like this location for people to come in, make music with them, a chiller vibe, but then we got thrown into the midst of COVID.
Yeah.
So then it became this kind of, you know, something for the band to do while COVID was in the full-fledged, but I personally think it's like one of the better albums, but because it was such a like more of a passion project than anything. It didn't get a lot of publicity. Like Cracker Island is, as of this moment, their newest album, and you see Billboard for that and everything. Mm-hmm. They just kind of went under the radar for a lot of people. But they have we'll get into the album. They have a phenomenal cast of people who are joining them. Like they have Schoolboy Q, Elton John, Black is in it. Black with the Six in the beginning. He's a up and coming rapper now. It's a good mix of genre. And it just didn't back is on it.
When Ruben was like, hey, we should do this. And we literally decided 30 minutes ago we were going to do this.
We're doing it live.
But I pulled up the album and I'm immediately track one. It has Robert Smith. And I'm like,
the godfather of emo music himself.
What?
Yeah.
And then Beck, track two. Schoolboy Q, track four. Elton John. Like Ruben was saying, there are so many people on this album, and I fucking love that. I do think, especially because of the way Gorillaz are, mm-hmm. they're one of the few bands that could pull this off. And man, I wish they had the opportunity to. I wish COVID didn't happen musically, just so we could have gotten their full vision. Got to do, you know, you said, well, because we're covering the deluxe album because that's the only version on Spotify.
Yeah.
But you said the deluxe has six extra tracks.
From what was considered the release, yeah.
So 11 songs would have been everything until December. We got an episode because it was, like you said, it was released on YouTube. So we get an episode every month. And that's almost like what Ghost is doing with their
their lore and everything, yeah.
Like the way they do shit like that. Like, I love that they're putting in that effort. Metallica's, not their most recent album, but the one before, Hardwired.
Yeah.
When they were releasing the singles, right up until the album came out, they did a music video for every single song. Yeah. And, I love that. I love that bands can do that now. From all types. Again, fucking Gorillaz doing it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's putting in this effort into, making it special now. And they're making music videos again for the music. They're doing something because they want you to catch the vibe.
Right.
And especially COVID kind of fucked us all up. I think, man, maybe Gorillaz had this thing where they were like, you know what, let's just try to throw a vibe out there and see what people dig. And it just happened to be around COVID.
Yeah, and it did. And Gorillaz, I feel like, falls under the radar a lot because they are a quote-unquote virtual band. All the members of the band, quote-unquote, are all cartoon characters, except our man, Damon Albarn, which you might know him from song number two by, what's the band called? I'm sorry. Woohoo! Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun. Yeah, I don't even know, but I know.
I forget. It's blanking me right now. But yeah, he's the lead man. He is the vocal brain of the operation. And then the artist, I believe, I forget his name. I have to look it up.
Blur is the name of the
other. Blur is the band, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, is it James Hewitt?
Also, Albarn's from, he's English Icelandic.
Yeah.
Again, I think this is one of those things where it's always funny to especially the Gorillaz. Gorillaz, they got those groovy tunes. They got things that, they got a dance, they got a rhythm, they got a feel to it. What the fuck does Iceland know about grooves like that? Man, he's in it and he digs it. The same thing with Ghost. Tobias found that, his thing. He found his groove, and when we went to see him, you see them dancing up there, to their own songs. I love to see, Ghost is Swedish. You never think, you know who's groovy? The Swedes. What? So I think that's pretty dope. But, I love seeing, people from countries that you didn't think would have this kind of vibe. Or, I don't know. Do you think of a fucking England when you think of Gorillaz? No, I think Gorillaz gives off a very America vibe. It's very, off the walls, kind of do your own thing. But,
Because I think it's a very healthy blend of different types of music. Mm-hmm. So you don't associate it with one specific genre. And that goes a little bit with also that they're a virtual band. They're all these mythical characters. The very beginning of Gorillaz was Delphonic, the funky Homo sapien. A distinct underground rap style. Clint Eastwood, that's hip hop. I don't think... They have this benefit of being able to bend into whatever genres they want. Mm-hmm. And luckily, our man, Damon, his voice is very giving to whatever genre he wants to get into. And also, Jamie Hewitt was the main artist. I think he's had some ties with, Powerpuff Girls, definitely Tank Girl. He made the comic Tank Girl, mm-hmm. which is a very known, well-known graphic comic. Just them working together to make, like, this quote-unquote universe is super dope. So, like,
oh, yeah.
they can do whatever they want with it. So they can bring on people, whoever they want, to make more than what just one genre of music. Right. And that's what Song Machine is. It's just, it's got a little something for everyone. So I think this will be a fun dive.
I'm going to dig it, man. I'm pretty excited for this. Gorillaz is one of those groups, like, I know a few songs. I just don't know a lot about them. So I do find this very interesting. Man, this man wrote for Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
So obviously Tank Girl, number one credit. Judge Dredd, Hell City, Doom Patrol, King Leon. Yeah, man, he's...
And I forget how
things in here.
I forget how they mix, but I believe he's also done some stuff with Powerpuff Girls. So not this album, but the album before. There's a little bit of lore that the bassist, mm-hmm. Murdoch, got in trouble and got sent to jail. And then Ace from the gang Green Gang from Powerpuff Girls filled in as their bassist.
Hey, fucking cool.
And the original Powerpuff Girl movie, back when it was like the Powerpuff Girls was at the prime, they actually made a theater movie for it.
Right.
There's a part where the professor is looking at a newspaper. And the back of the newspaper is a ad for, at the time, Gorillaz tour.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
So, like, they are very intermingled in that aspect.
That's really cool. I like that. On the topic of, like, virtual bands, I think it's definitely Gorillaz is that band that walked so other bands can run. Like, Gorillaz has that lore. They got some weird shit. Ghost has that. Deathclock. Deathclock is a fucking virtual band. It's a cartoon.
Yeah.
And, like, you've seen Gorillaz live, right?
No, I haven't. I desperately want to, but every time.
I mean, you've seen videos, though, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I've seen Deathclock live where, like, the band walks out and, like, they play, but behind them they have the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what you get to see your characters and shit. So I think that's really cool because, like, man, I get to see the people who, like, play the music actually do it, but also they put together this, like, animation.
Yeah, the characters that go with it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think it's like next level without going full EDC.
Yeah.
Without doing an overproduction of EDC, without, like, the lights, the fireworks, and all the drugs.
I think the most prolific one, because they've obviously done shows since then and everyone knows who Damien looks like, but I think the most prolific one was back when Feel Good Inc. was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Demon Days, they did a actual MTV Music Award performance where they had, like, the holograms, like the one they used for Tupac.
Yeah, yeah.
Was very new, and they put the band members up there, the virtual band members, on stage.
On the stage?
Yeah, with De La Soul. And they did freaking...
That's really cool.
Yeah, and it was like the first time they had gotten, like, a very mainstream production.
Right.
I don't think they've gotten anything like that since, but, you know, even, like, they've touched hands with Elton John, Vince Staples, Snoop Dogg, like, they are all over the spectrum when it comes to music, so I feel like this is a great focal point for different genres of music.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it should be fun.
Sweet. All right, let's jump into this track list. All right, so the track list, like Ruben said, this was originally released on YouTube. So track one is Strange Times featuring Robert Smith. On YouTube, it's episode 6. So it's kind of mixed up.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, you think they just rearranged things for the album so it flows correctly.
It wasn't originally... I don't think it originally was going to come out like a full-fledged album.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, it was the 6th song that came out. And then after they were done with everything, they just said, hey, let's reorganize this so it makes sense as far as the album lore.
Right. All right, so I'm going to go through these names. I'm not going to say who's on the tracks because we'll bring it up as it comes down.
Mm-hmm.
First, we got Strange Times, The Valley of the Pagans. That is such a dope name. I have to interrupt it. That's so cool. The Lost Chord, Pac-Man, Chalk Tablet Towers, The Pink Phantom. That's a next D&D character. Ares, Friday the 13th, Dead Butterflies, Desole.
That's right, yeah.
Momentary Bliss, Opium, Simplicity, Severed Head, With Love to an Ex, MLS, How Far. We're looking at 17 songs, runtime's about 1 hour and 5 minutes, came out October 2020. Man, That is...
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like we usually like you do for most of the shows thus far, this doesn't have like real big numbers. Like it has critic reviews, but like it wasn't made to like make millions of dollars, right. I don't think. So
you have reviews?
I have the ones that are listed here.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear them.
Yeah, so... Okay, yeah. So all I got is some critiques from some small publications. Mm. Brian Hilsman of the Cosmic Clash. Don't know what that is, but I wrote about
it. I have no idea what that is. All right.
Song Machine is a positive review of what's called... or it's a positive review and the band's best work, saying as the project, as the Song Machine gradually releases to the public, it certainly morphed into an addiction, a cultural phenomenon that will have listeners hooked and eagerly awaiting each successive episode. So like I said, it was put out like a month at a time.
Right.
Grit Daily's Justin Shamlou, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, it's a unique auto-visual project with distinct utilitarian ethos, mm-hmm. noting that the success of this project relies on the fan satisfaction and buzz. It also eliminates the middleman to a certain degree. So again, like there was no advertisement. It's just like if you follow the Gorillaz, you knew this was coming out.
Yeah, you knew it was coming out. Yeah, it was, or if you happen to be the Robert Smith fan or whatever, or like the Elton John fan.
Yeah, then you're like, oh shoot, they made a song for the Gorillaz with the Gorillaz. Yeah, so it was super low key. Affinity Magazine called Song Machine one of Gorillaz's most ambitious projects to date, saying that it was a testament to their unique take on the music industry. Meanwhile, DIY Mag called Song Machine the greatest music TV series going.
All right.
So yeah, that's pretty much all there's like I said, there's not real numbers to go with this.
Mm-hmm. Really quick, we haven't done this in a bit because honestly the last few album covers haven't been like wild. Aside from the Prince one on the motorcycle, that thing's dope as fuck. And like just look at it, it's cool. But looking at this album cover, I think it fits exactly what you were talking about. There are so many different things here. There's so many different flavors, vibes. Like it looks like a music producer mm-hmm. who works with everybody. Like it has so many different, there's a horror thing, there's a piano, there's a keyboard, there's what looks like a MIDI keyboard, a solar system with an 8-ball on it, like the devil head. Like there's so much going on in this small space. And of course you got the character faces like kind of faded in the background, mm-hmm. but like I think that does fit this vibe where like you said, it's pieces of different vibes and flavors from other artists, and I think the album cover looks great for what I'm assuming this is going
to
be.
Yeah, it's like I've listened to most of these songs. There's a couple that I haven't because I guess I must have missed the release or something. But I feel like each one of these songs definitely has its own flavor.
Mm.
So like if you didn't know this was the same album, like you wouldn't know these belong to the same artist.
Right.
So
that's cool, man. I mean, I'm excited. So we're going to do again. We're doing it live. We're going to do a live listen, so... okay, so we just listened to Strange Times. We actually watched the video.
Yeah, what do you think?
it was a fucking trip. It was a Gorillaz video, for sure. Yeah. It was a fucking trip. The beat, it's definitely Gorillaz beat. Like, mm-hmm. it's got you, like... we were talking about Dare earlier. Like, Dare's that thing where, like... And, like, it's just got... It gets you, like, to sway to it. Like, even if you're not actively listening to, like, the lyrics or anything, that beat keeps you moving. Same kind of vibe here. It's not as aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
It does have that, like, that Cure vibe with that doon 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 doon.
Yeah, it's very, see Robert Smith's influence on the track.
Yeah, you get that. I thought he was going to be a little more involved, to be honest.
Yeah.
But still pretty dope. Like, honestly, it's a Gorillaz song featuring Robert Smith.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a Robert Smith song, and I think that's what I thought it was going to be. My bad. But like, oh, it's a Gorillaz song. And like, it was dope. And like, I think at first, maybe I was like, kind of like, eh, it's all right. But like,
it takes a second for it to pick up. Yeah.
So towards the end, when you're like, ooh, okay. And like, Strange Times. Like, oh man, something about it. Again, something about what the Gorillaz does. They find that groove and they find a beat for you to like, just sit and chill with for a bit. They would do like, I feel like if the Gorillaz really wanted, they can do those 8-bit like, sit and tune out everything, and you can just listen to something while you work on your computer.
They do that sometimes,
And like, that's what this kind of felt like, but they had lyrics to it. And honestly, it's not bad. It was pretty dope.
After seeing it, you could kind of see why. This was track number 6 when it came out, but that was like when the COVID was like really a thing. And you see why they put it in front, because they had the imagery of like people wearing masks, and like the whole idea of it was like, it's called Strange Times. Things are getting weird right now.
So, and they had the Be the Change at the end on the moon.
Yeah, they had like the moon says Be the Change, yeah.
And that's the thing, too, is like, maybe that wasn't the original idea. Maybe they were going to put Be the Change on there anyway, but they were like, man, somehow it makes more sense for us to put it now. So they fucking went with it anyway. And like, honestly, a solid track. Like, I don't not like it. It is an interesting pick to start your album with.
Yeah.
I definitely think that was like, I want to know why. I definitely want to know why. So that was episode 6.
Yep, the song number 1 on the track.
So song 2 is The Valley of Pagans featuring Beck.
Beck, yeah.
And this is episode 8. Just heated them into the water.
Oh, yeah, and that leads into, like, the next song. I don't think it's the next song as far as the album goes, but the episodic episode, like, they're semi-episodic.
It is the next song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
The Lost Chord. But, so, we just listened to Land of the Pagans.
Valley of the Pagans.
Valley of the Pagans, sorry. Yeah. Oh, honestly, I like that so much more than the first track.
Yeah.
I think the dance beat is good. I like Beck in it. Like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, they have him in the video and he's dancing and shit too. But, like, his part's a little more, like, groovy. And they seem to be, like, I don't know. It is a faster paced song mm-hmm. than the first one. But, like, I don't know, something about it, like, it got you moving, and, like, they talk about L.A., and, like,
yeah,
they have the video of them driving with, like, all the palm trees going by, mm-hmm. and talking about the Valley of the Pagans, like, it's big California vibes.
Yeah, and I don't know, this could be all speculation, this is how I take it. So, like, as the newer generation is kind of slowly getting far from, like, traditional religion, mm-hmm. I think that is, like, a comment of, like, how, especially in Southern California, is, like, more spiritualism is kind of being a bigger thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's more Wiccan, there's more pagan. You don't see so much, like, people who are staunchly Catholic, staunchly Mormon. Like, traditional religions are kind of fading out in that area.
Yeah, they are.
And you hear, like, oh, it feels good to be in total control. Because, like, those people are, like, I control my destiny more than like, people who are, like, I believe in a outer religion. Which is nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, you can see the newer generations are kind of stepping away from that more and more.
I think that might be why I dig this song a little more. Is, like, because that's what happened for me. Like, I was, you know, born and raised, like, Catholic. And when I started to, like, I don't want, because, again, no disrespect to people who are Catholic or Christian or whatever. Like, do your thing, man. If y'all are chilling and, like, you living a good life, good for you. It just wasn't for me. And I realized it after a while. And I think that's that feeling that you were saying. Like, it was the moment where I realized I'm in control of my life now. I felt like I had it.
Yeah.
And I may have had it the whole time. But because I decided to, like, not vibe with that anymore and, like, kind of do my own thing and kind of, like, go my own way, I felt that, like, it feels good to be in control. Like, it
feels good to be a pagan.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it feels great. And again, nothing against anybody who practices. Like, I love to roast my friends who are active, like, Christians, Catholics, whatever. Like, I love to just poke at them, make fun. But, like, at the end of the day, they know I'm just fucking around. And, like, I genuinely don't care.
Yeah, and like, that's their piece. Yeah. It's not necessarily our piece, but, like, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it don't matter. I was like, it only upsets me to a point where if, like, you start spreading hate speech.
Yeah.
And, like, and if you're not there, man, if you're doing stuff for you, you feel good. You go to church every Sunday, whatever, you do this thing, great. But damn, it feels good to be a pig. Yeah, it feels good to be a heathen.
A heathen.
So that moves us on to track 3, which is The Last Chord, featuring Legion. And it just happens to work that the last track was this, you know, Valley of the Pagans was episode 8. This is episode 9.
Yeah.
So it flows all the way through. Also, since I keep cutting myself off by saying it when the fucking video starts, the videos are featuring their cover art and the band interacts with all the instruments on there mm-hmm. for like a minute, which I think is fucking dope. Like, I love the extra effort. They're doing stuff that, like, they don't have to, but it's a creative choice. I respect it. Like, I think people don't give credit to bands that do stuff like that.
Yeah, take an extra step to be a little bit extra creative. Yeah,
it's literally, like, 2% creativity sprinkled on top of what you're getting. It's so cool. Whoever animated this for them, I hope you got paid great. And here we go into The Last Chord. That's so cool.
Yeah, what do you think?
All right, so we just listened to The Lost Chord. Honestly,
yeah,
that shit was dope. That was a blues song with soul influence.
Yes, yes.
Oh my god, that was so. Lee John killed it. Like,
yeah, I do think he. I think now modern day he is a like he is that genre. He's a soulful R&B blues singer. A lot of these people they have on here are very niche genres.
Yeah.
So they do they're not super popular, but the genre they do it very well.
He killed it. It was incredible. And even the beat was like
very funky. It had a funky beat.
It feel like a Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it felt like. We're like, I can't remember what album it was because they have so many albums, but like there's one specific Sly and the Family Stone album that it's a blues album,
mm-hmm.
and like it's a funk blues album, and you're like listening to it and you're like, damn, this is groovy. But
yeah, that bass line at the beginning sets the groove for the whole song.
And I love that again, we were watching the video, it's set up like a monster movie,
mm-hmm.
and Lee John comes out of the water as this, like, to make it easy for everybody to understand, like a fucking Pirates of the Caribbean Davy Jones monster.
Yeah,
and he's got the gills and everything, and he has cyclops eyes, but like, man, he's singing while he's doing everything. I'm like, oh, it's so good. That track was so dope.
And there's actually a lot of Gorillaz lore related to that video, because in the original Plastic Island, which is an album that came out years ago after Demon Days,
mm-hmm.
they had, again, a lot of their music videos for their albums are very episodic. One comes after another, and they tell the story.
Right.
Plastic Island was all about pollution and how it affects our world and everything. And there's a big thing about getting all these, again, these a lot of these collaborators to Plastic Island to do this big thing to tell everyone about pollution.
Right.
And I forget why, but basically in the grand scheme of things, the last couple videos that they were planning on making never got done. So us Gorilla fans never got like a bookend to Plastic Island.
Mm.
So this was kind of like their way to say, hey, we know, we're sorry we never made the rest of it. This is what happened to Plastic Island.
Right.
And there's basically a monster came out the water and destroyed it. Like,
but that was fucking dope. Like, it was really cool. I assumed, so they showed like, I was telling Ruben, like, they showed a house that gave me a big Teen Titans vibe, but they also showed like,
yeah, that's Plastic Island.
Yeah, they showed a dude stuck on the beach and they're like crying looking at him because he looks dead in his pod.
It was the, Robot Noodles.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a big thing in Plastic Island lore, was that they couldn't find noodles, so Murdoch made a robot noodles to fit her place, and she basically became, she was like an AI, but then after she became trash. So it's like kind of sad.
And so, yeah, you see them cry in the video, and like, ooh, I think the whole vibe, like, it's definitely sad as hell when you watch it.
In the video, they almost leave Murdoch behind.
Yeah.
And that was because a lot of what happened was Murdoch's doing.
Uh-huh.
So, like, that would have been, like, kind of social justice in a way. But obviously, you can't get rid of him. He's part of the band.
Yeah.
But there was an instance where it's like, oh, fuck, Murdoch might pay for everything he's done. But obviously, they pull him out last second. But, like,
as we were watching it, I was like, oh, shit, they left him behind. Yeah. I straight up said it out loud. And I was like, oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah.
But it was still, it was a moment because you see they animate in the character's face, like, it wasn't even panic. It was like, okay.
This is
like,
it.
Yeah, he accepted it for a minute, and I was like, damn, dude.
Yeah. Like, Murdoch is, he, in the grand scheme of things, he's the one who's, like, responsible for most of the bad stuff that happens to the band, but he's also the driving influence. Like, he wouldn't be where the band is without Murdoch.
Mm.
And, you know, he's the disgusting, kind of money-grubby guy, but that's just the character.
He's gotta be, yeah.
And it's very, like, that's why I said in the beginning, this album was made for Gorilla fans, because we never got that bookend to what happened at the end of Plastic Island. We got a little bit with Do Your Thing, which was featuring Andre 3000 in the album after, but it wasn't like a bookend. It was just like all the characters living in the house with the things that happened to them. Yeah, so it was kind of something, but this was like, quote-unquote, the proper end to that saga.
All right. Honestly, great song. Jesus Christ.
Oh, and the reference to the song's title, The Last Chord, is actually a reference to Hallelujah, where they say Michael played a chord for the Lord, and supposedly that chord,
like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift,
supposedly that chord was lost to time, so it's like, the guy talks about how he's missing something in life, like how he struggled his whole life, that chord is supposed to represent, like, the piece missing.
All right.
So that's like the lost chord, yeah.
That's dope. That's fucking cool. I like that a lot. Hallelujah slaps, by the way.
Hallelujah God is damn. A fucking great song.
I'm going to put it on the karaoke list for sure.
Hallelujah.
Jeez, man, honestly, like...
Yeah, they're very lore-heavy.
And the thing is, too, like, I hate to say it, like, the one with Robert Smith is, like, losing the race right now. Because, fuck, the two songs after that are incredible. We're moving on to track 4. It's Pac-Man featuring Schoolboy Q. And this is episode 5, so we're going back in time a little bit. I'm going to push play right now, and I'm going to cut a lot of this out. Yo, so we just listened to Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit was dope. That was so cool. Schoolboy Q got down.
Yeah, he did.
He got down.
And innately, like, I kind of wouldn't say hip-hop, but maybe trip-hop, because based on the way the beat goes. But, like, again, we have made drastic change from the last song.
Oh, 1,000%. The last song was the last chord, and the last song was very bluesy, soulful. Like, it was like a heavy emotion behind it.
Yeah, it was a sad vibe a little bit. Yeah.
But man, this one, it like Schoolboy Q, he's doing his bars and like, fuck, it's good. Like, and even the verses from the band,
mm-hmm.
like, it's just different vibe completely.
Right.
So good. The flow is so good. The whole thing, like, worked in itself with the like, and they had the video where he's playing Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And it's like their own, like the band members as ghosts. And I was telling Ruben while we were watching it, they gave Schoolboy Q like Tron lights for a bit. But I think that's what's really cool about that specific one was that was definitely during COVID. Like there's a point where he's wearing a mask and then it goes away and he starts rapping and he's reading off a paper. But he's doing it in his apartment or like his penthouse, where the fuck he's living.
That spot they're at is actually like the place they rented out for while they were doing that project. So I think they actually got stuck there because of COVID.
Yeah.
That was like the what they call in the lore the mm-hmm. second Tokyo studio, I think it's called. Basically, they kind of got stuck there and that's where they did everything. Ironically, the song was recorded just before COVID and got released in July. So they added like a lot of that COVID aesthetic after.
Mm.
But it just happens to fit that, like, it kind of talks a little bit about, like, being stuck on video games or being stuck on, like, social constructs. And it just happened to fit the theme of, you know, COVID happening, like, full-fledged of COVID. So, like,
so good.
Like, literally in the video, 2D is, like, stuck to the Pac-Man because there's nothing else to do. And Noodles, like, and Russell is boxing, and Noodles has to come pull fucking 2D off unplug the fucking machine just to get him off.
And Murdoch's just taking a shit.
Yeah, the whole time.
He's just taking a mad shit. He walks out pissed at least 3 times in the video.
Yeah.
Just going back and shit.
But what else is there to do during that kind of time?
Exactly.
So, like, I don't know. I think the song is, even though it wasn't meant for that, it's excellently done in that style.
Oh, yeah. They executed it great.
Yeah, I don't know. Like again, this album's very diverse, and I like listening to each song and how it feels. And I don't know, I just feel like it gets. I feel like it gets better too as it's coming along.
Well, it's Schoolboy Q too. Like the bars he's spitting, like his flow, that rhyme, like that's old school shit. Like,
yeah,
the way he was moving and like even I can't remember, but the phrases he was using, I was like, that's some 90s shit. That's some 80s shit. That's some things that like people don't use anymore because like that's not hot. Old school
flow.
And so I was like, dude, that. He killed it, and I don't know shit about Schoolboy Q. Like, I know my brother listens to them, so I've got my cousins do, but, like...
Again, he is one of those niche rappers. Maybe not on the same level, but I put him in the same book as, like, MF Doom, Dell 3000, like...
Yeah.
Maybe not on... I think MF Doom is probably a little bit stronger than Schoolboy Q. That's nothing against his rapping style. I just like MF Doom a little bit better. Yeah. But I would put them on that level as far as, like, known, like, how well they're known.
No, that track was fucking dope. And from Pac-Man, we move on to Chalk Tablet Towers featuring St. Vincent.
Real good song. I like this song.
Let's go. All right, we came up on a quick one there.
Yeah, only about 3 minutes. Yeah,
Chalk Tablet Towers. One thing I did look up while we were watching that, I was reading the comments on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to look up the lyrics here that I want to get drunk, I want to get stoned. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's not stoned.
Like how?
They were saying that the Gorillaz, quote-unquote, officially made a thing on there. It's, the Gorillaz themselves said it was stumped.
Oh, Stumped?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pretty sure, what's her name, Anne Erin Clark of St. Vincent probably said Stoned.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about St. Vincent. I do, I mean, apparently whatever type of music they do, they are very good at, because they have 3 Grammys.
Oh,
again,
shit.
Again, very niche artists, uh-huh. and, like, they appeal to a certain type of genre.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't doubt that maybe St. Vincent said Stoned.
but the episode was, or the lyrics was actually something else. Honestly, pretty cool. Kind of chill. Vibing song for sure. Like, not bad. It was short. Definitely short.
I really like the lyrics of this song. Obviously, I've listened to it a lot more, so I know the lyrics a bit better. It talks about how, basically, it's like being away from someone you really like or you really love. Mm-hmm. And it's like the aspect of being far away from them. It's like, will you still like me when I come back? Kind of the concept.
Yeah,
so I'm taking these.
I'll be back till the end of summer. Will you still be there?
Mm-hmm.
I won't give up on you, darling. Just tell me that you care. And then home.
Yeah.
Repeated a lot. Honestly, real good.
I like it a lot. It's, I don't know. It's a song that kind of, it has a happier vibe, but kind of is like a sad theme. Like,
when they hit No Cell with a View?
Yeah.
That, I mean, that sounds like fucking military.
Maybe that's vibes with me, yeah. Because, like, you spend a lot of time away from home. And you kind of just have to have blind faith that everything is okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe that's true. That's why it vibes with me a lot better. Like, awesome. Going off to a far-off star. Like, I'm going somewhere real far.
Yeah.
Will you still be there when I come back? Like, yeah.
The vibe's there, but, like, the beat, it's not happy, but it's not sad either. It just, it keeps you there, and, like, it's groovy enough.
It's got a little energy. It's a little bouncy. Yeah. And the St. Vincent's background vocals with the kind of like adds a little flavor to it. Makes it a little bit more bouncy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really like that song.
Honestly, not bad. I'm still going through this. Robert Smith, I'm sorry.
It's song getting farther and farther.
Yeah, they just keep dropping. It is what it is. We are moving on to the next D&D character I create, the Pink Phantom.
And who's on the track?
Featuring Elton John and Black.
Yeah, it's Black with a 6 in the beginning.
With a 6. Cool. Yeah. This was episode 7.
Mm-hmm. Sir Elton John.
Sir Elton John. This is... Oh my god, that's so cool.
Honestly, straight up, I really like the song. I might cry.
Alright, we're gonna listen to it right now. Let's fucking get it.
So you said?
Alright. So we just listened to Pink Phantom. Holy shit, that was such a good song.
Fuck it, Elton John came and fucking delivered, bro.
But the beat, the style that they're playing on,
mm-hmm.
it's Benny and the Jets.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a, yeah, you're right.
It's a gorilla song with an Elton John beat, with Elton John on the keys singing. And Flack's vocals, ooh.
Yeah.
Black
came in, so there was a lot of, when the song came out, because I was following the whole episodic release, a lot of people either really loved Black or hated Black. I think Black adds to the song very well.
No, I think whatever flavor he added, like, I don't even know what the hell it was, it's a modern take, like, it's what hip-hop is today.
Yeah, he is a modern lyricist, yes, he is, like, he does a lot of work with, like, Cordae and, like, not super mainstream rappers.
Yeah.
So, like, he does have... It's more than just sounding good, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I personally think that Black added... His addition to the song was beneficial. It wasn't... Because there was a lot of people saying...
I don't think
saying,
it hurt
like,
at all.
Yeah. A lot of people were like, ah, Black ruined it. Like, they could have done the song without him. Add an extra Elton verse. Like, no, Elton's influence was very clear in that song.
It sounds like an Elton John song.
With just gorilla
features and Black rapping on it. It sounds so good. I think that shit was dope as hell. Like,
and I love that they gave Elton the gorilla treatment.
Oh, yeah.
He's
a character.
He's one of the only collaborators that got a specific draw. Like, he's the only one who's been gorilla-fied like that.
Yeah, and they gave him the glasses and even, like, him playing, and when he turns and looks, I was like, I've seen so many videos of him play live. That's Elton John's move. Yeah. Like, that's so cool. That song's super good. I like that a lot.
There's the Pink Phantom in the video who's kind of floating around, but also, like, the Pink Phantom.
The car?
It's a Pink Phantom 5. Yeah. A Pink Phantom 5. And, like, it's very retrospective of, like, over the summer. Like, it kind of has, like, somebody I used to know vibes.
Kinda, yeah.
Whereas like super, you guys were super close, and then like over the summer, it's like strangers again.
Yeah.
I listen to this song a lot, and I love it. I cannot change it, but it makes me very sad.
It's a very sad song, and like again, man, listen to the lyrics, because I had the lyrics pulled up so I could like follow along with them. Fuck, the lyrics are so good.
Spelling Elton's parts, like yeah. Elton's was like, I tried to tell you I loved you, but you wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
I try to keep all those pauses out of mind. The sky made of diamonds, where all the world was quiet. I'll be waiting for you on the other side.
Yeah.
Soup.
That, like, that's Elton John. Like
That's Elton John.
Textbook Elton John. 1,000%. And they let him, like, I mean, again, you can't tell him what to do.
No, it's Elton John.
But like, they could have, like, told him, like, hey, we want you to write like this. And like, no, dude, they let Elton John be Elton John, and they worked around that.
Yeah,
and for sure. It was a fucking great song. Honestly, it might be my favorite so far. Because, fuck, there's so much feel, emotion, soul, like, to all of it. And again, like, hate what you want. Black fucking killed it. Like, I think he added a good lift.
I think it was good.
A level of flavor that, like, it's unexpected, but, like...
Yeah, and that's very on brand for Gorillaz. Gorillaz is an amalgamation of different vibes. Like, I don't think in any other main context would you have, like, a rapper and Elton John on the same track like
exactly.
That. Like, I know there's been commercials with, like, Lil Nas X and Elton John, but I don't think... Did they have a song together? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think the only thing he's done in recent years besides that was Dua Lipa. Like, they did a little combo song. I don't remember what it was. But, like, in recent years, like, this is the closest we've gotten to, like, a brand new Elton John song.
Yeah, and again, like we were saying, this is an Elton... Like, if this could have been released on his album.
Yeah. It could have been Elton John featuring Gorillaz and Black.
Yeah, like this feels more like an Elton John song.
You would have gave him one song. Yeah, you would have gave him one more verse. It would have been a Elton John featuring Gorillaz. Yeah.
I have no problem with it. I love that they basically gave him a song and told him, you know, run with. I'm assuming they told him run with it. He did what he did. They did what they did. Black came out and did his thing, and they found a way to make all that work. And that song's solid.
I fucking love this song.
Oh, man, all right. From Pink Phantom, we're going into Aries.
Featuring... Yeah, we get less sad.
we'll
come back to sad later.
We'll always come back to sad. But we're going to Aries featuring Peter Hook and Joja. All right, that was Aries. The end, Murdoch shows up with a fucking syringe.
Yep.
I was like, sir?
It's problematic.
I don't know. I think... This song is a good, like, I guess filler kind of, like...
It's very... It's trancy, because Peter Hook is actually the bassist from, like, Joy Division.
Yeah.
So, like, that's... Like, it's got that new wave synth vibe to it. I think that's where they kind of went with it.
And then, it doesn't have that big, like... It doesn't have a big build or a big drop or anything, like...
Yeah, it's pretty kinda just, it's calm.
Just vibes and, like, grooves.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not bad, just... It's not something that, like, you're going to...
It doesn't stick out like that. It's in comparison to the other songs on here. It is like, because I do know there's people who do really enjoy like stuff that's very melodic and very, I wouldn't say monotone, but very repetitious in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I think like you said earlier, this is like one of those kind of droning songs that people put on in the background while they're doing other things.
Yeah.
And it's melody enough that you're like, hey, I like the melody, I vibe with it. And it kind of flows into the next song. You don't really think about it.
And it's honestly not bad. It's just a chilling song. Like,
it's a chill song, yeah. Nothing crazy, nothing to write home about. I mean, the bass was there. Like I said, Peter Hook from Joy Division was there. Yeah, again.
Other than that, it's just, I don't know, decent track. Hate it or love it. It is what it is. But from Aries, we move on to Friday the 13th featuring Octavian.
Yes.
We just listened to Friday the 13th. And Robert Smith, you're welcome. You're no longer my least favorite song on this album. I am so disappointed with that. I don't know who the fuck Octavian is. Do you know?
He is a French-British rapper. He's real good in, like, London, I guess. He's, again, very niche guy. 2019, he won BBC Sound of the Year Award.
Okay.
And he has accolades over there. Again, I feel like this is more for their British audience, their European audience.
Probably, because... Damn, that was bad.
Yeah, it's the flow doesn't appeal to us here. It's not.
Honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised if it was hot here. Like, he sounds like a mumble rapper, and like, it's just, it took him thirds of a way through the song for us to hear anything to pronunciate. Yeah, like
yeah, I don't really like any of
that. I don't like any of that shit. Sorry, but fuck, dude, how are you gonna come out with a dope ass name like that?
Octavian
or no, Friday the 13th? Friday the
13th. I'm sure there's some connection there. Yeah. Again, like I said, this album's all very broad and meant for like a lot of people. So obviously, there's something that's gonna just miss with us.
Yeah, and definitely, like this one's not for me. Like I'm sure, dude, hiking, I'll probably show my brother that song. He'd fucking love it. My brother likes all that
shit. He likes that kind of type of trip hop or whatever. Yeah,
and so he likes that, like, I don't know, it's just not for me, man. It sounds very, to me, it came off very monotone.
Yeah.
The whole song sounded the same until Gorillaz actually started singing.
Yeah.
And when they came in, I was like, oh, there's something. There's something. Yeah, like, yeah. There's anything else. Like, I don't know. Have you seen, there's a meme of, it's Drake at one of his concerts. And he's like, he's got the mic and he's full on screaming. You can see like the neck muscles and everything. And they're like, there's no Drake song that exists for him to be doing
be
this.
Be going that hard.
Yeah. Like, and they're not wrong. Like, why are you yelling, my guy? Like, that's not your style. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
He was trying to do Eminem's part of, what's it called? What's that song where he had everyone on there? Want This Forever?
Oh, yeah.
He's doing Eminem's part.
Yeah, that's why I was like, it's one of those things too where, like, I guarantee you, that dude's live shows, he'd probably be screaming all this shit, like, why are you yelling, my guy?
Yeah, that's not your style.
But again, that's just me, like,
I'm not into, like, this newer hip-hop styles either, so.
I'm sure it's hot somewhere, it's just not for me.
Yeah. Hey, it is what it is.
And I'm just ultimately upset that they're gonna throw out a Jason Voorhees thing and
there was no
shit was trash. It was boring. Like it was because they also presented that video as like kind of horror and it's just driving through tunnels. The video was just driving through tunnels. I was like, damn, you didn't even want to like throw a lake in there or show them in the forest or
it might have been one that was supposed to have more production to it. This one said it was released on the 9th of June 2020.
That's mid, like, so, early, brand new COVID.
They were, this is like when the group themselves were being quarantined in that place they were at. So maybe there are some logistical things, who knows.
They may have fucked up. And maybe they had a bigger plan and just couldn't do it. But what was given, meh, in my opinion.
Yeah, somebody else probably really likes that song.
Yeah. But from Friday the 13th, we're going to Dead Butterflies.
Okay. Another very sad song. Again, I might cry.
I'm always ready to cry. It's featuring Kano or Kano?
Kano.
Kano and Roxani Arias. Yes. Let's get it. All right. We just finished Dead Butterflies.
Are you sad again?
Oh, my God. Why was that song so good?
It's fantastic. And believe it or not, that song was supposed to be on their last album. The Now, which is their album between this and Humans, which is like their last big collaborator album. Again, they had put this song on. They were going to make it for the last album, but they were like, it doesn't fit the vibe. Let's scratch it. And then the Now was the one where I was telling you that Ace from the Gang Green Gang was filling in as their bassist, quote unquote, like in their lore. So, like, I guess during the COVID epidemic, they're like, hey, we're doing this project. Let's revisit it and try to build it up again. And that's what they came out with. And, like, it's one of my favorite songs on this album.
The line that stuck out to me, everyone's a winner till you lose.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
And, like, the imagery
it's
gives,
so fucking good.
The chorus, he says, we're dead butterflies laying on a sprung floor, waiting for... It depends
waiting
on
for low tide.
Low tide to come and pick us up. If like imagine that imagery of like a dead butterfly like on a floor and then some water comes up. That's the only time it flies again is when the water comes up and lifts it away in the tide. Like it's so sad. Like,
and I think also like they let the Spanish come in.
Yeah, she sang Spanish.
And that was
I couldn't find a lot on Roxana Arias, but she is a Latin American singer. She's well known where she's from, but there's not a lot of projects from her here. But yeah, she came in, she put like a bar, and then she sung Spanish. Like
it was fucking. It didn't ruin the flow or anything. No. Like man, that beat it again, very bluesy, very soul. Mm-hmm. Like who? It makes you think and reflect, especially if you're reading the lyrics with it.
It's so sad. Like it's like when was I supposed to bow down with you? Yeah. Like one like. it's just like this last flabbergasted, like, why is I'm gonna start crying if I keep talking about it.
Yeah, but like, honestly, one of the better songs again is just because of who you and I are. Like, we dig those sad feels, we dig those bluesy vibes, we dig the soul vibes, especially when they get that flavor of like the hip hop element or like the soul element or the Spanish soul element. The Spanish soul element's so good in this, like, because again, she's not like. It's one of my big things, like one of my problems with reggaeton is everything sounds the same.
Yeah, and they're all talking about the same thing all the time.
Like, it's the same flow, but like, man, she came in and like made her lyrics fit the beat.
Yeah, and she
like,
did she, both. She threw it in English and then switched to Spanish, and it was seamless.
Yeah. Because when it switched, I was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, I had to look.
I almost wanted more of her. Like, instead of. Yeah. Like, Kano was good. I like Kano. His flow was like. It was good for the song, and what he was spitting was great, but I almost, like, want to cut a little bit of Kano's part and add more of her.
Yeah. Or put her on the hook.
Or put her on the hook, yeah.
Give me a little more of her, because, like, ooh.
She was good.
She was that good sprinkle of flavor in there that I didn't think I was ready for.
Yeah.
I thought that shit was dope.
2021, Spotify said this was my most listened to song.
And then
they made a point to tell me again in 2022. They're like, hey, remember when you listened to this song all year? Like, yes, sir, I was sad.
Back off, Spotify.
I was sad the whole year.
Fuckers.
It's a good song. I love it so much.
It's honestly real good. I dig it a lot. But from Dead Butterflies, we go to Desole.
Desole, yeah.
Featuring...
it's a hard name to say. I don't know if you want to try.
Fatu Omata.
Yeah.
Diamara.
She is.
Diamara?
Malian. I don't know where that's from. Malian. But she sings in French.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
It's actually a real good song. I like the song very much also.
All right. Here we go. This was episode 2, by the way.
This was the second one that came out.
Second song that was released.
And the video is pretty cool. I like the video also.
Right. Let's get it. Apparently, we listened to the extended version.
Yeah, it's like 6 minutes.
Yeah, but... not a bad track. I think that's one of those songs where, again, I can throw it in the background and do something with it just grooving, but, like, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Chill. So, I like the vibe.
So, the main singer lady, I won't pronounce her name again because I will mess it up.
Yeah.
But Maali is a republic in West Africa. It's a landlocked country out there, and they speak a form of French called Bambara. Which is like kind of like, I guess the best way to quit is like Creole for us. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say,
it's like
it
a French,
like
it's a French dialect of African speak.
Ooh.
So désolé actually means sorry in French.
Ooh, okay.
So, like, it's kind of they're asking somebody for forgiveness the whole time. So like, yeah, I like the vibe of the song a little more. It's again, it's more chill. It's not like I'm not gonna get hyped through the song.
Yeah, it's a little upbeat, but it's not like let's fucking go.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got like just a good beat. It's upbeat enough to, like, you know, you could sit there while you're working and you're, like, moving, but, like, it's nothing that you're going to get out of your seat and get wild to.
And she, I love her vocal because it's different from what we hear every day. She has that very, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, she goes a little hard at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different flavor of vocal pattern that you don't hear all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell just from, like, in the song where, like, she's hitting those long notes. I was like, ooh, like... man, I would love to hear her own shit. Like, I'd look her up and, like, listen to her own stuff. Even if I don't understand what she's saying, like, I can kind of groove to that if that's the style she's singing in, you know?
It's funny because, again, to get back on the creativism of Gorillaz, like, they even give press release lines to the press as the characters. The characters don't exist.
Oh, yeah.
But Russell, the drummer, he even said, like, while making Désolé... with her, it was a real moment for me. You know, she's an African queen. This lady made the song what it is, beautiful and lifelike. Because he is, like, the African-American character in the group. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yo, to go the extra step to make the group feel real is super awesome.
I think that's dope as fuck, too. I the dedication to the bit.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not even a joke. Like, it's a way for them to, like, express themselves without... seeming like one of my favorite terms, like a culture vulture.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, sure actually 1,000% felt this way.
And the dude just genuinely, like, he's a music fan.
Yeah.
It's like you and I, like, we dig music that we're all over the place, but, like, we dig music that technically isn't for us.
Yeah.
You know, fucking, when we do karaoke,
yeah.
Ruben does fucking Thunder Rolls. why is this brown dude doing a fucking country song?
It always throw people off when I do Thunderbolts.
It's so funny. Like, it's one of those things where like, nah, dude, just the vibe speaks to us. Like, it's dig this song. Like,
it's a great song.
Yeah, it is something that spoke to us. We dig it. We vibe. Like, and I think it's one of the things where, especially in the Hispanic community, where we have this like weird reach, where the Hispanic community has pull in the hip-hop area, mm-hmm. Yeah, pull in the fucking the funk area, we have pull in the goth area.
Yeah, you know how many Mexican people go to like Depeche Mode fucking things, yeah. Or like the Smiths, Morrissey, we love that shit.
Yeah, but yeah. Nobody talks about it.
Yeah,
no one ever talks about it.
Like, we went to the New Wave, the bar I like to go to, the karaoke bar we like to go to on my birthday, and it was what, Depeche Mode, and it was fucking packed. Hispanics wall to wall.
Literally, I'm glad we had a table.
Yeah.
When we got there, but like, if we didn't,
yeah,
we would have been standing.
And not to make it a stereotype thing, but you know, like that weekend, at some point, they were at another party that was going bum 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 bum. Like, there was definitely mariachi.
Yeah, and,
like,
somebody was jamming out to some fucking corridos, and like, that's just how it is, man. Like, for some reason, we love Depeche Mode.
Yeah, we love Depeche Mode.
One of my favorite things to ask people is, like, especially when I meet other Hispanics, is to be like, all right, so are you a Smiths Hispanic? Or are you a Morrissey Hispanic? Because they're always going to ask. And they're like, what about you? And I was like, I fuck with both, dude. I listen to whatever I want. Like, I'm not the type of person to, like, pick.
Are you a charming man or are you a Suedehead?
Yeah, exactly. Which one do you listen to? On the way to work, which one did you listen to? Because I know you listened to one of them.
Charming Bicycle.
I do think that's what's so dope about the Gorillaz, is like, they can, and especially because they built those characters with a different like background culturally, that they can do that, and it's not like disrespectful. It's just, it makes them not look like culture vultures, because they just appreciate the music. They appreciate that style, and like, that's the point.
Yeah.
It's not to appropriate or anything, it's an homage almost.
Like, yeah, and they give credit to every feature that they have.
And they're on like, please come on our song, we're gonna do it your way.
Yeah,
I mean, it's gonna be a gorilla song, but like, it's gonna be a gorilla song in your flavor.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that a lot. Woo! All right, we just finished talking about
Désolé,
and this is kind of a fun episode since we're doing it live. We're gonna feature two beers.
Yeah, we're taking our time listening through this album, so.
So our second beer, let's crack this boy open for the people.
Oh god, it's Imperial Hazy. I didn't know I was signing up for this.
Woo! What from I got foamy.
Oh, great.
From Elysian, we have Full Contact, an Imperial Hazy IPA. It's 8.8%. We got a 19-ounce tall can with us. I believe they are in Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle and Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yeah.
He does have some lore on the back. It says,
you want to read it?
Yeah. Full Contact, cloaked in semi-translucent haze, an imposing presence beckons you to come closer. As you do, your nose opens up to a tangent of wistful memories. Peach season in the orchard, a tangerine tree on a hill, fresh honeydew cold from the fridge, and a vanilla cream soda in your hand. What kind of bittersweet initiation is this? This is Brewhouse. We opened our doors in 1996 when bold art and music defy in Seattle. So, like, what, grunge? Yeah. We carry that same spirit in.
Somebody help.
I can't do it. You gotta finish it.
We carry that same spirit. Smells like Teen Spirit. In the way we brew our beer. It's about taking chances, learning from our missteps, and changing perceptions. Pull up a bar stool at ElysianBrewing.com.
Oh, where can my baby cheers.
Help.
It could be that I'm buzzing, but this is not that bad for a hazy IPA, at least for me.
So, I think the Imperial part of it takes that, like, bite away from
it. Yeah, it does.
It's a little more malty.
Yeah.
But it's a little smooth.
So, okay, yeah, I actually really dig this. I'm one of those people who are not a big IPA drinker, but this is an Imperial Hazy IPA, and I'm not I'm not deterred from it.
I'm gonna give this a 3.5 out of 5 bottle caps. Crushable, I can drink it.
Same. I would say that, this is a 3.5 also.
I would probably have 3, and then I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, like, wait.
I shouldn't have done that.
Because it is a 19.2 ounces. It's a tall can. It's an 8.8, so it's like average.
It'll get you there, yeah.
But it'll get you there, yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
Speaking of getting you there, what's the next
song,
sir? Speaking
of getting you there, our next song is Momentary Bliss, featuring Slow Tie?
Yes.
And Slaves. Please... that's what it says.
That's exactly what it says.
Yeah, it wasn't my idea.
They are a punk rock band from England, so
they need to stop.
So
here we go.
Yeah, real quick song.
Yeah, it was quick. I do think Momentary Bliss being episode one makes sense to me.
Yeah.
The video itself, it seems very, it's almost found footage, like horror. Like you're watching this POV cam from the person who's holding the camera while they're putting this track together.
Yeah.
And it's dope, and like the beat flows, and even I don't know who was rapping on that.
That was Slow Tie.
Yeah. Thigh. So Slaves is the...
They're the punk rock guys, yeah. They're the ones responsible for, like, the ska field.
Okay.
He was the one who was singing in the beginning and the very end.
Okay. So that, again, while we were watching that, Ruben and I were like, hey, this feels like... So I said reggae at first, I was like, no, there's too much punk in there, that's ska. And so
very ska.
It's cool, like, I like that vibe, and I think this is a song I would try to put on in the background while I work, and it distracts me. Because I, like, start vibing out, and, like, I start... singing the words after a while.
Like, yeah, it was like, the first thing you pointed out was, like, he says, it's special, so fucking special. You're like, that's a creep
that's
vibe.
That's creep, yeah. So I think that's fucking cool, because, again, we mentioned it in Prince, like, I love when people just reference songs.
Yeah.
And they don't even got to drop the name. Like, it's special, fuck, so fucking special, like... Alright, I already know what you're talking about. Thank you for the Radiohead vibe.
But it's not a one-for-one copy. I don't like it when they straight up copy lyric, but it's like, when you reference a lyric in your own flow, that's dope.
I think that's what's really cool. And so that's why, that was the beauty about when I brought it up, was I Would Die For You.
Yeah.
When it was Sugar Free, and he goes, I would die for you.
A reference from last episode. Yeah.
But he never did the, like, I would
he didn't sing it one for one.
It was his own vibe to fit that song, and I'm like, ooh,
that is quality.
Yeah.
Reference. Yeah.
But again, that's the sample culture. Like, that's the culture we should be living in. Like, where you do that reference, or you take that, like, sample or and something to, like, own. Pay tribute. You make it your own, but also people understand where it's from.
Not to tangent too hard, but, like, my little sister Sweet 16's coming up, and I listen to what her DJ playlist is gonna be, and there's a couple songs on there that, like, I forget what song it is, I don't know what it's called, but she put it on, she's like, oh, I'm gonna play this song. And legitimate, 1000%, the beat was one for one, Soul Sonic Force, Planet Rock. It was Planet Rock. But, like, it was some other group, like, some female group on top of it. I was like, I got legitimately mad. It wasn't like they took a part of it and then mixed it to make it sound cool.
Yeah.
It was one for one the beat for Planet Rock, even to the point where, like, 30 seconds in, the synth came in, one for one the song.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay, I get it, because, like, we grew up, I think I talked about this a lot during the 36 Chamber episode. We grew up a lot on West Coast Vibe, which is like Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre is the king of sampling. Mm-hmm. But he would take the sample and make it to something else. Like, prime example, if you listen to No Diggity.
Oh, yeah.
That, that is a Bill Withers song.
Yeah.
And it's called Grandma's Hands. And it sounds nothing like that sample. He was able to take something reference and make it his own to something completely new.
Yeah.
They did not do that. It was one for one, straight up. It was Soul Sonic Force. Like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, this is Soul Sonic Force. But then I heard the vocals, and like, this is not Soul Sonic Force.
Somebody ripped off Soul Sonic Force
exactly.
And Afrika Bambaataa, but we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah,
but
I was thoroughly upset.
Well, it's one of those things, too, where, like, when Eminem dropped Rap God, and he does Supersonic at the end.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dude, and he even says... Supersonic JJ Fett, and like he goes hard, and I was like, that's fucking cool. I lost my shit. But so many people, they were like, I remember listening to Supersonic, man, whenever, I don't remember when that album came out, but I was driving with whatever girl I was talking to at college, and like Supersonic came on, and she's like, oh, they did an Eminem thing, and I stopped and I was like, no, Eminem did a them thing, like he even says JJ Fat Supersonic.
Didn't that just happen just the other day? Who were we with? Was it from the Dodger game? And it said, oh, that was I think you guys were dropping me off, and somebody had referenced that it was Mariah Carey's it's a real famous song now by Mariah Carey.
Oh, she was like, oh, they sampled Fantasy, and I was like, yeah, no, they sampled Genius of Love.
Yes, Genius
it's
of Love.
It's a Tom Tom Club yes. song. Like, but yeah, just,
Genius of Love, yeah.
Yeah, it was us telling Lexi, like, no, dude, like Mariah Carey's song, like, again, I love Fantasy. Fantasy's
yeah, it's a great
fucking song. But it's
not the original
Genius
beat.
Of Love. Like yeah. James Brown, like
James
no.
Brown.
And so I think that's why, like, getting those references to songs where, like, they make it their own.
And it low-key, it makes it their own. Like, you can get homage to that group to which you get your inspiration from. And it kind of keeps it alive, in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, people who have never heard of Creep, you might Google one day and look at freaking Slow Ties, like, his rapping style and, like, hey, this is a reference to Creep. Like, okay, what's Creep? You look up
yeah,
Creep,
get the Radiohead, yeah.
And Radiohead's like, oh shit, now I have now been introduced to him. And that's the one thing about, like, referencing songs now in the modern age. Like, you can look that stuff up and learn more. Back in the days, it was like, no one knew because there was no way to, unless you heard the song. I mean,
and that's what we were talking about on the Wu-Tang thing.
Yeah.
Where I was like, hey, here's all the samples. And I mean, there was a few who were like, yeah, that. And they were like, wait, what? Like,
yeah, exactly.
There's a Jackson 5 sample on that? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, and it's probably two notes. But they took two notes from a Jackson 5 song and they made it a Wu-Tang song.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of those things where, again, hip-hop was blessed with the ability to put... They MacGyvered everything.
Yeah, and you can say what you want about sample culture, but West Coast flow, even some East Coast flow, is built on sample culture.
Yeah.
And it's just how you do it. It's the difference from paying homage to straight up just stealing.
Yeah.
And that's why I think... I know we've taken a far tangent from Gorillaz.
Again, at the end of the day, like, the Gorillaz do it too.
Oh, yeah, we just saw the thing about how they... So Clint Eastwood apparently was a sample from a Casio old device. Like,
yeah, and it's one of those things, like, if you have it, you can hit track one, the preset. There you go, Clint Eastwood. Go ahead and karaoke it.
Yeah.
You can. And that's so fucking dope. Like,
yeah.
They took something that nobody recognized.
Yeah, and it's overtly a sample. When you hear it and then you hear Clint Eastwood, like, okay, that's where they got it from. But... it's different. They changed it. They put a guitar to it. They rocked it out. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't sound like one for one, but you can see, like, oh, this is where they got it from.
Yeah.
They got the beat and the melody from
definitely
here,
know
but then they
it
changed
from.
It and made it their own.
Yeah, and I love when bands do that.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It makes me happy.
That's why, again, we're taking a tangent. That's the only reason why I like when Taylor Swift comes out with new music, because I know a metal band is going to cover one of their songs, or one of her songs.
God.
Hey, fucking
the best one is still Blank Space.
Blank Space's But I Prevail
yeah.
is fantastic.
We'll talk about it eventually on here. And eventually there's going to be a video of Ruben and I covering this.
We need to find a karaoke spot that has it, yeah.
I mean, we could just ask Jay to... or
make it for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, just like, dude, here's $20. Please make it for
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
Because we're dumb and we need it.
I'll circle back to this album. We took a long tangent.
Oh, we are back now. So after a momentary bliss, we come to Opium featuring Earth Gang.
So
do you know Earth Gang?
I actually do not, but I have the page pulled up here from their wiki.
Let's get something.
Earth Gang is a American hip-hop duo from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right.
Composed of Olu and Wow Great. That's spelled Owgr, the number 8. They are co-founders of the musical collective Spillage Village.
Okay.
Which Black is part of. So apparently it's probably like the collective, I would imagine, similar to Wu-Tang Clan, but not to that level,
yeah,
I would
yeah.
assume. Yeah, I haven't heard of them before. I actually, this deluxe version had a lot of songs I've heard before, but I would say, like, out of the next 6 songs, I've only heard 2 of them. So this is new for me also.
All right, we're going to get into it.
Yeah, let's get into Opium.
Let's go. No video. All right, we just listened to Opium. Ruben, was that your first time?
Yeah, it's actually my first time also.
All right, so both of us, first time listening to that song. All right, so our initial first thoughts, intro, way too long.
Intro's too long.
It was 2 minutes before you hear anything.
It almost got to the point where, like, I didn't like the song at all.
Yeah, I started getting irritated. I was like, like, I'm mad I'm doing this.
Yeah, it's, again, and it's funny because we talked about, like, while we were listening to it, we're talking about how, like, it had a large opening, like Depeche Mode or even, like, Death Cab for Cutie, which I think Death Cab for Cutie, their most famous song is, dang, what's the song, Death Cab for Cutie?
I can't tell you. I have no idea.
I will possess your heart. That's what it's called.
Okay.
All right, that's the lyric it says. The intro of that song is legit 4 minutes.
Oh my god.
It's an 8-minute song. But they're just vibing the whole time. This had like a 2-minute intro, and I wanted to hate it at first, but when it came in...
When it started like running, drinking...
Yeah.
Like that vibe. And then so we were talking as we were listening to it, this big East Coast vibe. And like, oh man, like the bounce of the lyrics and the vibe and everything that was going on. God damn.
Yeah, it had so good. It had good energy once it came in. It just took a long time. And then even the chorus, all it's like, it's real short chorus. It says, hope the radiant light that's shining on you. But there's a part where he goes, like, 2D goes, and he goes, hope. And there's, like, a little, I don't know if it's children or a little choir, but they go, hope, like, in the background. Yeah, I kind of like that. It was, like, a good vibe. And, you know, it's hip-hop without, you know, it's hard to find hip-hop where there's a good flow and it isn't just talking about random nonsense. Which, don't get me wrong, I like hip-hop with random nonsense. Like, I like Childish Gambino a lot as a lyricist, but a lot of the songs he talks about is just, like, garbage. Like, he's just talking about fucking bitches and getting money. But, like, the way he delivers it, I like a lot, which that's a lot of hip-hop.
Yeah.
But, like, even this, like, he's talking about leaving the toothbrushing your dreams, like, because, like, that's a common occurrence. Like, if you stay with somebody a lot, you leave it, like, when you know a relationship's going good, you leave a toothbrush at their place.
Yeah.
But a toothbrush in your dreams, it's like, I'm in your mind all the time. And that's like, exactly. I think that's that's a cool imagery for me.
Honestly, again, man, I went into it, I was like, I hate this song.
I was super ready to hate it.
And then as soon as it started, I was like, oh, okay.
And the,
like,
piano, it fades out, and the piano.
When you're talking about that piano, like, at the end, it's bluesy, it's East Coast for sure.
Yeah.
But like, ooh.
I get like...
It fits that vibe so good. I get
old school jazz vibes from piano coming out. Yeah. And it was like, at first it was very melodic, and then it kind of started doing its old thing as it starts to fade out slowly. And I don't know, like you said,
It's almost like big band, like we were talking about.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Where big band, like when they stop, especially at a jazz club, when the big band stops and the piano kind of like solos at the end for a bit and like fades into nothing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it felt
like. Yeah, that was legit the vibe. Like, it's almost a 7-minute song. It's 6 minutes and 50 seconds. Like, you can cut the intro to maybe a minute and I'd be happy.
Yeah.
2 minutes is a long time, but I like the song a lot. I don't know if I like it enough to put it on my playlist to listen all the time because that intro is so heavy. But I have to look up these guys now because I do know Black from other features and stuff. Mm-hmm. And at the point that he was part of this...
Earth Gang.
Well, Earth Gang is the duo. And then Spillage Village is their posse.
Right.
So I might have to look up the Spillage Village now because like, I really like the flow they put. It was definitely like... East Coast, but it's also like South Atlanta, Phil.
Yeah,
which is where they.
And there was some comments on the YouTube channel that I was reading to Ruben, and people were like, "This is more reasons why we need a Daft Punk Gorillaz thing."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Man, if we get a Daft Punk Gorillaz thing,
if Daft Punks will come out of retirement for one song with the Gorillaz, I think it would fucking kill.
It'd be insane.
It would be a phenomenal song." You just get a couple of lines where Dan's putting out bars and then freaking Daft Punk comes up and mixes it. Oh, I think it would be phenomenal.
It'd be like one of the next songs that's going to get sampled for the next 20 years.
Yeah, 1,000%. It's a good song. I just, again, intro's just too long.
Intro's a little too long.
I really liked it.
Honestly, fast forward a minute 30, start there.
Yeah, start there. Let's give it 30 seconds of the intro and it's a real good song. I like it a lot. Just the intro.
Long. All right, we are moving on from Opium to Simplicity, featuring Joan as Policewoman.
Is that a movie credit?
Dude, that's what I'm like, what the fuck is... whatever, I'll figure it out later, but let's listen to this shit.
Yeah, this is like... this old hippie.
Yeah, so... all right, we just listened to Simplicity. What the fuck?
I don't know. This one was a weird one for me.
It was definitely weird. It had hippie vibes.
I'm trying to look up this feature. I've never heard of her before. I have a picture of her. Joan as Policewoman. She's an American musician.
Oh?
Yeah. She played in violin for the Dam Builders. Don't know them.
I don't know her.
A group out of Honolulu. Black Beetle. Anthony and the Johnsons, which is an American group out of Nahali. I don't know where that is. Those Bastard Souls, made in 95. They're out of a band called Bud. I don't know. This is a very niche person.
So, I will say, the way it sounded when it wasn't them, or even when it was them, it sounded like Lou Reed towards the end of his career.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever listen to the Lou Reed Metallica album? It was called Lulu.
I'm familiar with it. I don't remember how much I listened to it.
My God.
Describing the sound as old Al Green records.
Absolutely not.
That's what they say her vibe is. The name is a reference to TV series Policewoman featuring Angie Dickinson.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
It sounded like... So...
Yeah, we're confundled.
going back to the Lou Reed thing. The Lou Reed Metallica album... It sounded like Metallica recorded their instrumentals and, like, the backing tracks, and a drunk man stumbled in and recorded his own vocals. Because that's exactly what it sounds like.
Kind of what it was. It sounds like she might have been faded during this.
Yeah, it was not good.
And there's no music video for this one. This wasn't, like, a proper Song Machine release.
Yeah, I think we're going to get nothing but lyric videos after this.
I don't know. I think the last one, How Far, does have a video. That was part of the original quantitative release. It's just, yeah, I've never heard this before. It sounds like something they tried with somebody, and I'm sure there's people.
I guarantee really like you, this. There's like the digital underground crowd. They're about it.
That like, really, this is like a hippie, folksy song. Again, just not my vibe.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some girl that I carry stones too. Like I carry a piece of Numite with me all the time. But there's some girl who has a bunch of stones on an altar near a window that really likes the song. I don't get it. Danny has the lyric video official page from Gorillaz, and there's a part where they literally could not decipher.
It says, we don't know what 2D is saying.
Yeah, the singer. They don't know what, they couldn't decipher the lyric. And I tried to Google it, and it didn't make sense
either. It came up with some bullshit. So, oof on that song.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
But...
So that's two on this 17-track list that were like, whoa. Yeah.
So we're going from Simplicity to Severed Head.
Ooh.
Featuring Goldlink and Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
Dope.
Alright, we just listened to... Give me a second.
Severed Head. Eh.
Yeah. It was monotone.
Yeah, I didn't... Like, there was a part where I believe it was the Unknown Mortal Orchestra came in that, like, was kind of poppy there for a second, but then, like, they started droning on also.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's...
It was boring. Even when the rap came in, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, it was kind of boring. I think that's one of the things about, like... experimental albums is like you're gonna try a lot of different things, and some things are just gonna hit with people and some things are not gonna hit with people.
This
is like whatever to me.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure people dig it, but not for me.
Not in the circle. Yeah,
it's not my shit.
It was like, no means it wasn't like a garbage song. I wouldn't diss it, but
I'd skip it.
Tomorrow I'm not gonna remember what the song is. is what it is.
From Severed Head, we're moving on to With Love to an Ex. I'm featuring Moonchild Sanley? Sanley?
Her original name is Sanlisiwe Taisha from South Africa.
Yeah, I ain't gonna do that.
Yeah.
With Love to an Ex. Here we go.
With Love to an Ex. And I looked up some information. Our singer, our collaborator in question is from Port Elizabeth, South Africa.
Uh-huh.
And she is known for creating a genre known as future ghetto punk, at least where she's from.
Okay.
Apparently she's a sex icon over there. She has no problem with sex, which, okay.
Good for her. Yeah, whatever.
I think based on her personal profile on here, it says that language she uses a lot during her raps is called Xhosa. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It's spelled X-H-O-S-A. It is a ethnic group primarily to Cape Providence, English, Cape Providences of Southern Africa. So it must be a specific dialect out there. I apologize if I mispronounced any of that. I am just a idiot American who's trying to make his best through the ways of life. Yeah, I mean, her flow was real nice. I wasn't expecting the X N-word. Like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, there was a lot of X N-words in there.
The flow was okay. I like the flow, but I didn't understand any of it.
I think it was monotone after a while.
Yeah, towards the end, it got weird. I can see this was also based on the wiki from Gorillaz. This was, another 2019 bit for the previous album that just didn't make it, and I guess probably during the Sound Machine or Song Machine production, they must have just thrown it on there. There's not much else, any information about that on here.
Shit. I mean, whatever. I mean, if people dig it, they dig it. It's just, I don't know. It was boring to me.
This far, getting towards the end of this, it feels like the front part of the CD is probably where it's at. Everything else is kind of eh.
Yeah. So, from With Love to an X, we're going to the second to last song, MLS, featuring Jesus Christ, JPEG Mafia, and Chai.
I'm assuming it's Chai because
Chai. C-H-A-I.
A Japanese pop band.
Also, JPEG Mafia, if y'all don't get the fuck out of here.
That JPEG Mafia is a American rap singer and recorder producer from Brooklyn.
I just want everybody to know I already hate them. But we must do it now.
Baby, they'll change your mind.
Get it. So we just listened to MLS. Not bad.
It was a little better than the last couple we listened to. It's
definitely better than the last couple we listened to. I don't know.
It's calm. It's chill. Again, it's one of those.
I think it has more movement. It's got more vibe than the other ones. But like,
I think it's not a bad song. I think a lot of it's sang in Japanese by the Chai group. I don't know if I'm saying that incorrectly. They are a band from 2019 or 2012, I should say, with a couple of sisters and some friends that come together. They don't traditionally fit into what they consider J-pop. So they are outside that spectrum a little bit. Yeah, it wasn't a bad song. Again, it wasn't my. That was just one of the earlier ones, probably Friday the 13th, or it just wasn't my vibe. It's not a bad song in any means. Like, there wasn't anything that was like, ugh, that sounded like garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I feel like probably lo-fi people probably really like the song.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not lo-fi. It has lo-fi vibes for sure. I think if you're into that kind of stuff, calm hip-hop, you know, chill stuff, you probably really, really like the song. Not my cup of tea. I like stuff with a little bit more bump.
It's something to get me going. You know?
Yeah, it does have some bounce to it. It's like, if this came on, I wouldn't hate it. But
if you had the choice, you're not playing.
It's not put on my playlist, exactly. Yeah, for sure. Not a bad song. Probably out of the last couple we just listened to, Opium was good. Last three we probably listened to wasn't that great.
They were fucking rough. Yeah,
from Simplicity, Severed Head, X with the Love, MLS is probably the better out of the four.
Yeah. I definitely think the same thing there.
But luckily, the last song was part of the original episodic release, I believe. So they did end it on a stronger note.
So I only found on YouTube a Gorillaz from their actual YouTube page. It's on the episode release.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're going from MLS to How Far, the last song on the Spotify album, the deluxe album. It's featuring Tony Allen and Skepta.
I have heard this song. I will say it's a lot stronger than the last couple we've listened to.
It's only 2 minutes and 46 seconds. Yeah. So let's listen to it, and we will be back to give our thoughts. All right, we just finished the last song on this record.
Real short.
How far? Very short. It's under 3 minutes. Honestly, I think it's a good song, but there's a reason why they put it at the back end, where there was nothing to push it out.
Yeah.
To make it stand out. It was easily the best one out of all the fucking deluxe tracks, but
I might put it in just behind Opium.
Okay.
If it wasn't for the long opening.
Yeah.
It was definitely more, it was a little bit more energetic, but it was kind of still, again, monotone. I did like how it was a little ominous towards the end, the beat kind of got real deep and dark, and then the laughing from, I believe it was Tony Allen who did the last kind of last vocal lyrical part. It made it give it a little bit of a ominous ending.
Yeah.
And this is called, technically called season one. So I think the idea was that if COVID was going to keep going, they were going to do a season two, etc.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll do a season two in like 10 years when I'm like 40 years old.
Christ.
Yeah.
Help.
Gorillaz has a very, they take a long time to release albums.
Yeah.
It was okay. It was, again, not the best song. I do believe, like, the reason why this is the deluxe edition is because the half part of the songs were songs that they made that didn't exactly fit the vibe, didn't exactly have the best reception out of all of them. I see why this is the deluxe edition.
And yeah, and I think it's one of the things where, like, they didn't fit the vibe, but what the hell do we do with them?
Yeah, and a like, couple of these... Now.
Just release them.
Yeah, a couple of these deluxe songs, like I said, were from the Now Now, which was the album before, and it seemed like, again, this is the midst of COVID. They were probably looking for something to do. They had these songs in the backlog, like, hey, let's produce these songs that we had made and put them out. You know, worst case, you know, they're slightly independent in the sense that they can make whatever songs they want.
Mm.
Like, another good example is Tech N9ne. Tech N9ne is an independent song artist, and he makes songs all the fucking time.
Yep.
But a lot of his songs are hit or miss. Like, he'll come out with a single that he made just because he felt like it, and it'll be a banger, or he'll make a song that he just felt like it, and it's just kind of weak. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's done the most as far as, like, collaboration also. Like, he has songs with Surge from freaking System of a Down.
Yep.
Corey from
Slipknot,
the lead singer of Korn. Like, he... That's the one thing I do like about Tech N9ne is he does have some songs that kind of flop because he just makes whatever he wants. But some songs that he doesn't have that restriction on them.
Right.
And I feel like they also don't have that type of restriction on them just from the virtue of what kind of band they are. But when you have that free flow, you're going to have songs that are going to be very good. And you have songs that are just kind of, eh. Or at least they're going to appeal to a different audience.
Because yeah.
their reach is so far spanning. Like, we, just in the last 17 songs, we've heard hip-hop. We've heard things that are a little bit on the rock spectrum. We heard things that are very techno-y. Like, yes. This album's all over the place.
This album's everywhere. I mean, you get back to the fucking Elton John song.
Yeah.
That's an Elton John
that
song.
That was an Elton John song amongst all of this.
Yeah.
Like, if you told me there's an Elton John song on, like, a hip-hop album, I'd be so confused.
Right?
Like, what? What? Like,
who? Why? Benny and the Jets?
Yeah.
What? Sir?
I mean, but that's the beauty of Gorillaz. Like, I'll be honest, there's a couple of Gorillaz albums that I just don't touch.
Right.
Like, the Now Now, it's a good album. Not my flavor. I like Humans a lot. Humans is a great album. They have a bunch of collaborators on there. But they're all... That's, like, a darker album, I would say.
Mm.
Demon Days is, like, one of my favorite albums. The one in between Demon Days and Humans is kind of, take it or leave it. So, like, they spread out so much that they're not going to fit everyone's type.
Right.
They are still, though, one of my favorite bands just because they can reach that far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their newest album to date is Cracker Island. There's, like, 3 songs on Cracker Island that I really like. Everything else, I could kind of leave it alone. But those 3 albums I play, like, on a daily basis. Mm. I love, what's the newest that just came out? Oh, Silent Running by Cracker album is right. Fucking phenomenal. I love that song. But everything else is kind of, whatever. And that's just the beauty of the beast.
Yeah, it is what it is. And I mean that goes to say with, like, a lot of everybody's favorite bands. There's something that nobody really digs.
Right.
But it's fine. Like, they're human. They all have to fuck up and do whatever they want. Like, whatever. It's part of being a fan.
And obviously someone likes that music because they keep making them.
Yep.
And I'm not going to disparage if that's your vibe. I'm going to take what I like, listen to that. Hey, you flow with your music. That's dope. Teach me some. If I like it, dope. If I don't like it, it is
whatever. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
That's another thing. I know we talked about the beauty of music on the Purple Rain.
Yeah.
It's been a long day.
It's been a very long day.
But, you know, that's just the beauty of music. And it appeals to a lot of people, and some things don't appeal to people, but, you know, it's the beauty of it. You could find meaning in things that maybe other people don't find meaning in.
Exactly. Yeah, again, best part about music. Somebody's going to find something they do, and it is what it is. But now that we're at the end of the album...
Yes, sir.
Ruben, let's get a rating out of 5 digitally created creatures. What are you rating this album?
Out of 5 digitally created creatures, I have to give it... I'm going to give it a 3.
All right.
Just because there's a lot of songs on here, and the songs I do like, I love. Mm-hmm. Everything else, I could kind of leave it.
Yeah, and it's a lot.
Yeah, and it's a lot, though. I think in this case, quantity and quality are kind of on the same boat in this.
Yeah.
Like, the songs are quality songs. They're just, there's so much of them, it spreads out to so many genres that I don't like a lot of them, just because of the virtue of what they are.
It could be the COVID thing. Like, they were forced to put it all in the same album.
Yeah.
And then whatever, shit happens, man. But, like, we just live with it.
But this is very much a Gorillaz album. You have the Gorillaz flavor, you got Dan on the vocals, and you just got genres galore. There's no specific genre. And that's what I love about the Gorillaz so much. Like I said, the songs I do love, I love them hard. Like, Dead Butterflies, I fucking love that song. That helped me through my breakup, and, like, I listen to that song on the daily. Pink Phantom, again, I fucking love that song.
So good.
It's such a great song. And a couple other the songs on here, like Valley of the Pagan, love that song. Strange Times, I could take it or leave it, depending on how I feel. But yeah, like, the rest of the songs, they're not bad. They're just not my cup of tea.
All right. I'm going to give this album, I'm gonna pull a Horrible Peoples here. I'm going to give it a 2.75.
Okay.
Same reason, just I haven't listened to it enough. You've listened to it more than I have. And even then, like, it's not that much because we listened to a lot of songs together for the first time.
Yeah, some of those towards the end I listened to the first time also.
I do think they suffered because of COVID. They just had to throw it together and it was what it was because there wasn't enough time and they had shit tons of songs to work with.
And the intent wasn't to make an album. They were just doing this as a project.
Yeah, and it was for fun. So, like, it's not their fault, which is why it's 2.75 and it's not just a flat 2. Like, the songs that I do like, again, I do dig. I'm going to go listen to them later. Like, those songs were solid, but...
Yeah, like, Lost Chord, great. Valley of the Pagans, great. Yeah. Pac-Man, good. I really like Choctaw Tablet Towers. Pink Phantom, fucking phenomenal. Dead Butterfly is one of my favorite songs of all time. Desolate, really like that song. It's a strong album, but just the bulk of it and how much is left.
Too much.
Yeah, it doesn't all appeal to me. This way, exactly. like Purple Rain last time, we ranked really high because, like, old songs are generally really good.
Yeah,
despite who you are,
you're gonna vibe with something off all those songs. Here, you're not. And again, man, maybe the 4 songs I really dig off this album, you guys don't, and you guys dig 4 other songs.
Yeah.
But it still ends up the same rating.
That's the beauty of this.
Yeah, and it's still a 2.7 at the end of the day. And so it's just, it is what it is. Like, it's nothing against this album. The album's decent. I do think they made a song for everybody on this album.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
they did.
Somebody's going to find something in here that they dig. I got a lot of friends who like EDM. I guarantee you, I can show them this album. They're going to pick something on there that I don't like.
Yeah, one of these songs, I guarantee, is going to end up on their playlist.
Yeah. And that's the goal, I think, at the end of the day. I mean, even for us, like, man, as long as one of you guys are listening to this...
Yeah, as long as somebody...
I talked to somebody today. Yeah. I feel good about it.
If we have more than just the 10 friends we told this about... Right. Which, I mean, like, in our other podcast, we just broke 300, which is, you know, doesn't sound like a lot, but for us, like, I don't know 300 people.
Yeah.
So there's at least 250 people that I don't know who are listening to that, and that is fantastic.
Yeah, it blows our fucking mind, and, like, that's one of the things about, I mean, I told Ruben, I was like, when we started doing these podcasts, I was like, I'd be happy if we get over 10.
Yeah. It's just something we do for fun, and this, I feel like that's the vibe of this album, is something they do for fun. Granted, they're professional artists, but the idea was, like, hey, we're just gonna make music for those Gorillaz lovers. And it got crunched into an album because of COVID and everything. But, again, that's the beauty of that band, is that they can make music, all kinds of music, for all kinds of people. And it's, you would never think, like, this is a Gorillaz song. This is a Gorillaz song. This is a Gorillaz song. But they're all over the
place. They're all Gorillaz songs. They're all songs with Gorillaz flavor. And I think that's what's dope about this album specifically. Holy shit, Ruben, we're at the end of the episode. We're technically at 3 hours right now.
Oh, yeah?
Recording, but...
I'm gonna cut it down.
I'm cutting out a lot of this out.
At least how was the album track
an
is...
An hour and 5 minutes, but it's also bathroom breaks, all kinds of other shit.
Yeah.
But, Ruben, let me get those plugs. Say bye to the people.
I will say bye to you people. My name is Ruben. I am the Blue Collar Sad Boy. You can find me on you can find me on Instagram... at REC Matrix, spelt just like how it sounds. I like to lift weights. I like sad and positive music. I gotta start saying that now because people have been asking me questions. Are you gonna hurt yourself? No, I just like sad music.
Sad music. You like The Cure?
Yeah, exactly. I like raccoons. I like lifting weights. I like turning wrenches because that is my livelihood. So if you like any of that stuff, go ahead and give me a follow. If you don't, then don't. I am also on Turning Tables Podcast with my boy Danny here and Alex from Horrible People. We run a D&D live Let's Play where we all play Dungeons & Dragons and we switch whoever's taking over as the DM throughout the story. That way it keeps it lively, keeps it fresh, you have a different perspective. That's been super fun. I'm super proud to be part of that and the Horrible People Network. So come give us a listen. Yeah, that's all I got, bud.
So I think when this comes out, I will be DMing.
Yeah, it'll be so a couple weeks into you. Yeah,
pretty fucking hyped for that because I have some very dumb
things. I'm super excited. When Alex took over, it was super fun. It's great to play as a player again at your guys' table because I'm the if anyone knows Dungeons & Dragons, I'm the forever DM. So
yeah,
it's been
Ruben's
super
been cursed.
Awesome.
So like Ruben now has played. You're coming up on 5 episodes of not being DM.
Yeah.
And you're going to get at least, because I told you I'd do a little more, you're going to get at least 7 more.
It's been super fun. These guys have been running super good campaigns thus far. As someone who's been planning stuff for a long time, it's been super fun being on the other side of the table. So I'm super excited where that's going to go.
Cool. If you guys haven't started listening to Turning Tables, please go listen.
Please.
We threw some music in there. Some of it provided by me. Other provided by Ruben.
Yeah.
Ruben, at the end of the day, puts all the music in to make the vibes fill out. Oof. It honestly, we're putting in some good shit to make it sound, like, to fit the moods. It's great.
I feel like we're music adjacent. So yeah. Like, and we also do a lot of singing. We love music on.
We reference so many songs. Please go listen to Turning Tables. But also, this podcast, Turning Tables, we're all a part of the Horrible People's Network. Horrible People's Network can be found on Instagram at HORRBLE People's Network.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find this podcast on Instagram at Hops and Notes Pod. You can find me on Instagram at Wrathchild714. You can find me on Untappd, which is beer Instagram. At Wrathchild714.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. You should be plugging.
Yeah, I've been trying to remember to plug that a little more often, but man, I don't even have an outro to this. Until next time, like it's Dare. What?
Yeah. Okay, both Demon Days songs.
Yeah, it's Demon Days because Demon Days is fucking dope. But thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it so much. We will see you back for episode 7. This is episode 6.
Hey,
goddamn.
Goodbye.
Thank you all. Peace. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to Horrible People's Network on Instagram. That's HORROREBLE People's Network on Instagram.